Okay, folks, sit back, relax, get your favorite libation, your favorite snack. The Geocaching Podcast is coming at you right about, right about now.
You want to know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now. So go, 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 geocache, geocache. And if you need help, we're right there in a flash. If you got a question, just call in and ask. Uncover the stash on the Geocaching Podcast. The Geocaching Podcast.
Welcome to the Geocaching Podcast, episode 504, recorded live on July 19th, 2017. I'm your host, Head Hard Hat With.
That's 427 and...
Info Ferret.
You can join our chat room and watch our live video stream, plus participate with us as we record this episode. All this and more can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. Be sure to contact us via our voicemail line at 63031-VOICE. And also find us on Twitter at geocachingpodcast.com/Twitter and Facebook at geocachingpodcast.com/Facebook. This episode is sponsored by our good patrons of the Geocaching Podcast. To become a contributing patron, simply click on the Patreon logo on our webpage to help keep our podcast going. From all of us at the Geocaching Podcast, we thank you. Wow, what a weekend and week so far. I've actually been encouraged to go out and do geocaching, even if it is 95 degrees out. Yeah, it's pretty cool. The temps were in the 90s. It cooled down to 89 today, where I actually had a chance to cut the grass. And I had to cut it now because it's going to be over 100 after Friday, or starting Friday.
We dipped down to 95 yesterday. We were in the hundreds over the weekend. So, but of course, you know, I managed to get out to an event, and there was actually over 50 of us squeezed into a little Mermaid with Coffee place, also known as Starbucks.
Oh, there you go.
Trying to do Mary Hyde event. So.
That's funny. Yeah, I mean, same with here. It was on the weekend, so on the 15th, on Saturday, I went out. Wife Amy had to work. I had like a one-hour window, and so I drove that 1 hour to get to the location because nobody else had any pirate stuff except for one that was way far away in Durham, and it was like 8 o'clock in the morning. That wasn't going to work. So I drove to this other one that happened to be 8 o'clock at night, and it was at a snowball place. Now, Sarah, I don't know. Do you guys have snowball places in New Zealand?
Depends what you mean by a snowball.
It's shaved ice. Yeah, shaved ice with different flavorings that they put on it.
I know what you mean, but you tend to call them shaved ice. Snowball for us is some fizzy pop or Coke or whatever variety of carbonated beverage with a ball of ice cream put on the top.
Oh, see, we call those floats. Yeah.
Some people call those snowballs.
Yeah, interesting. Okay. Interesting stuff. Well, you learn a lot. Well, it was very nice because it was 90 degrees at 8 o'clock at night. And to have this shaved ice, I had it was funny. They called it the Frogger. And they had to, of course, spell it F-R-O-G hyphen R, because if you call it Frogger, then you got to go against all the trademark stuff. But basically, it was a snowball. Half of it was pineapple. The other half was blue raspberry. And on the top of it was a gummy frog that you could have with that. And I'll tell you what, that was really good. I haven't had a snowball in forever, especially in the heat. So it was just a nice event. We had a bunch of people show up, had a good time talking, and you know, took about a half hour, and away we went. But it was fun. I got to get about four or five other geocaches in the area, which really was great. So I got that going and kind of had the bug again to really get going with things.
I managed to get a couple of caches in the area as well, and a DNF. I got to get that DNF in there.
Yeah, well done.
Absolutely.
Well, arr, she says in the best pirate accent. Well, me hearties, it's all been about avoiding the squalls and the tempests this week because it's been bloody cold.
Well, it's winter where you're at.
Oh, yeah. whilst getting things sorted for a Mary Hyde event I hosted. One perk of hosting events is you get to name them.
Yes.
So should you wish to, should you actually happen to need a cache beginning with the name Y, with a Y, in to spell do a July spelling challenge, you have that prerogative.
Wow.
So I called it Yo-Ho-Ho Me Hearties, and that tidied that one off very nicely.
Very nice.
But we had about 25 people braving the elements. They signed the log sheet, which was a plastic pirate's tablecloth I'd picked up from a $2 shop. And I rewarded them with 30 minutes advance notice of three caches I'd got placed that went live just after the event finished. We have a nice reviewer. He holds them. If you ask him very nicely, he'll hold them back to a time.
Oh, wow. That is nice.
So did you allow them all to get a shared FTF?
Oh, hell yes. I had one person say, why did you do that? I said, well, there are so many professional FTF chasers around the place, several of whom were actually at that event, that I thought, I'll give the new those for whom an FTF really means something a chance. And they're all fairly close, and they were all walkable too from where we were. Hopefully, I haven't done much this week. It's dark after work, so that sort of stops things. But I should get the doubloons tally up on Saturday. A friend of mine, I've got the numbers run planned because she's 71 short of the 2,000 cache mark.
Oh, wow.
So we're going to see if we can hit, you know, if we drive like mad, see if we can hit that for her.
Oh.
I'll have to tell you next week.
Oh, excellent. Good stuff. Yeah, it's... Yeah,
the last time I tried to get a cache published right at the time an event occurred, it published 2 days later. And I told everybody, there's going to be a puzzle cache launched after the event. And it was quite literally 100 feet from the event.
Oh, geez. Wow.
Well, I had pre-prepared and turned up with about 20 printed scrolls with the cache detail with the coordinate details and the rest.
Very nice.
So that even if it hadn't gone live and it didn't go live till afterwards, they had the information they could put into their phones or GPSs and go find it.
Very nice.
Good planning.
Yeah. Did you guys do anything for this week yet? I went out. I got my message in the bottle on Monday, and wife Amy and I were at a restaurant, and it's like, okay, let's go to get our cache. So away we went, and yep, there we went. Found a little interesting, those squeezy toys. Ours happened to be a pig. And if you squeeze it hard enough, the eyes bulge out, which is...
Oh, yeah, those.
That is addicting as heck. I'm just saying, it's like... it's great. I loved it. Very, very good stress relief. Yeah. But we got our 5 points to add to the team, so that'll be good.
Yeah. Well, to say, I've got one because I... Having that, okay, it's cheating. I'm going to put my hand up. I had that Y event that meant that I could then work back and complete a spell July with caches found in Y. I needed an event or a letterbox or something unusual.
What, you mean you went and made an event for the benefit of your own person? That never happens with geocaching.
Surely not. You bet you're casting nasty motives to me.
I'm unabashed.
And I may be entirely guilty.
You're supposed to create a sock puppet account to do that.
Exactly. If you're going to do it right.
For that.
Anywho, so yeah, we had lots of good stuff going through, and it looks like a lot of people had fun. And according to our the last look that I had at the Friend League, we more than enough have people with their points for that. I did hear one thing that I did want to bring up for the people that may or may not know. I think there's a little bit of misunderstanding somewhere in the writing. Somebody gets the impression that if you have, say, 100 people on your friend list and 30 of them have no points, that somehow counts against you. It does not. What it means is for you to qualify for your souvenir is that your friend list has to have over 30 points or 30 points or over, and you have to contribute at least 5 points by finding one geocache. That's the way you get your souvenirs. You got to put in your 5 points worth, and the total score goes to. It doesn't matter if you have 7,000 points. If you don't go and get yourself a geocache that week, then you don't get the souvenir. So that's.
Yeah, I probably have 30 people on my friends list that are no longer active geocaches.
Oh, at least I've got stuff where people are back to 2008 that I haven't seen in forever. So,
and what I will say is, I'm getting, as bet you guys are as well, I'm getting a few friends requests, which is great.
Oh yeah.
But please tell me a little bit about yourself and why you want to be my friend, rather than here's some. I've just randomly typed names and see what's come up.
I'm pathetic. I just tell them, want to be on my friends list. Let's just let me know, and away I go. I don't care.
I'm being a little bit more cherry. You know, if I know you, that's no problem.
Right.
If it's sort of, hello, you're a random with two finds and nothing in your account, then I'm probably, I might not be as quick to accept it.
Yeah, I'm more charitable. I just go once a day, I go to the list and hit anybody that says accept and go that way.
Yeah. Well, that's how I got through.
Yeah. That's part of the fun. That's how it is. Yeah, so interesting stuff. Good stuff. Let's move on to the podcast roundup, letting our viewers know what's going on in the geocaching podcasting community. And what's coming up this week on Geo Gearheads is episode 290, Road Caching 13. Rock Chalk from geocaching.com joins us to talk about his geocaching travels. So check them out tomorrow on Thursday. And also be sure to check out with the GeoSnippets Reboot podcast. Last week, I had the worst sinus headache ever that I just couldn't do anything. So we didn't do the show last week. So we're going to continue with more stuff on Captain Mary Hyde and make sure that anybody who's left that's going, I don't get it, will be able to help straighten everything out and go from there. So that'll be tomorrow, I should say, Thursday on GeoSnippets Reboot Podcast. Finally, please, please, please consider becoming a patron to our show. We have several new patrons that signed up over the past week or so. Thank you so much. We greatly appreciate it. To become a patron of our show, simply go to geosnippets.com and just click on either our Patreon or our PayPal logos. And if you can, and if you can't afford it, no big deal. We greatly appreciate you just being a viewer. But if you can afford it to throw a couple bucks to us each month, we would greatly, greatly appreciate it. Literally helps keep the lights on and keeps us going. So for everybody that has, thank you. And at the very least, tell other people about the Geocaching Podcast. Word of mouth is our best friend, and we appreciate when you do that as well. All right, moving on, Mr. Taz, to the GCPC mailbag. And if you have anything as far as comments, questions for the host, milestones, anything that's going on, just send it to gcpcmailbag@gmail.com, and we'll see about getting in the show. And we got a really cool thing from Shermanator18 from the Geocache Talk podcast. And I'll let Chad go and give a little more details.
Yeah, so Shermanator18 writes in, hello, fellow geocaching podcasters. I have made a travel bug whose mission is to get to all the hosts of the geocaching podcast. Information about each podcast is included on the travel bug page. You can get to it with a link in the show notes, but also by putting in TB7J1MQ to get to the page for the travel bug. Feel free to follow along with its travels and mention it on your show if you like. I hope it makes it to each and every one of you. Keep up the great work on all you do on all your podcasts.
It's gonna do some serious traveling. Yeah. Depending on where it goes, because it's going from Greenville, Texas, Denver, Colorado, Detroit, Michigan, Tacoma, Washington, Vancouver, Canada, San Diego, California, Garner, North Carolina, Chicago, Illinois, El Dorado Hills, California, and way out in Wellington, New Zealand.
Yep, send it over here.
I don't know.
Some strange female stalker.
Some
I've heard
kiwi.
About.
I don't know what it, you know what fruit has to do with it, but that's how that works. So yeah, it's really cute. It's a very neat little treble bug, and so we'll see how this gets from point A to point B, and for us to keep track where it's at and go from there. It's been discovered a bunch of times, and then we'll see what happens. Basically, it was placed in the Happy Birthday Canada Ice Cream Social is the last place that that's actually been, and that's in New York. So we will New York. So we're going to have to see how that moves around the world. And if it's anything like any of the goals for mine, it'll probably be in Cleveland like next week. Or Germany, well, one of the two.
Germany, yeah.
Well, I was going to say, if anybody finds it, feel free to bring it down to Oama Ruins in October to what we hope will be a mega.
All right.
It still needs a fair few more people to sign up to attend. I'm not involved at all in its organization, says she as a quick disclaimer.
Awesome.
But I'd really kind of like to be able to go to a mega without having to get on the plane and fly for 36 hours or whatever.
Oh, fine. If you're going to be all lazy and stuff, that's great. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Let's move on to, and Mr. Taz, if you are ready, let me move this here and hit this little button here.
The news. The news.
The news. In the news. So the first message in the bottle was sent out on Monday, July 17th. Collect 30 gold coins to earn the first map piece souvenir. Buccaneers unite. With pirate events behind us, it is time to gather your crew and sail. We've received a second message in a bottle signed by the infamous Mary Hyde. This week, you need all your seaworthy men and women on the Friends League to collect a combined total of 30 gold coins from July 17th to July 23rd, together with your crew to earn the souvenir with the first map piece. Now, the one thing that they left off here, and I know they have it in the blog, is that you do need to at least earn 5 points yourself.
Right. Yep. And with all the stuff that we talk about tonight, we're going to have, of course, this in the show notes. So be sure to go to geocachingpodcast.com and click on tonight's episode, and you'll be able to get all the links and everything that's in here. But it basically works just like they had talked about before, the 30 gold pieces. Find a log or find a geocache, get 5 gold points. Find with 10 or more favorite points, you get 10 gold points. Or gold coins, and attend a log, an event, and you get 10 gold points as well. So that's pretty simple. I mean, it doesn't take much. Think about it. If you got 6 people in your friends chart, and each of you get 5, there's your 30 points.
Yeah, I just hope they don't ramp this stuff up really, really high.
Yeah, because this will be interesting.
Well, I'm just wondering what they're going to do next week, because July 24th. 24th of July is only Monday, and it's Thursday already here.
Yes, each week comes up, and it starts every Monday. That score goes away; it disappears.
That's right.
Yeah,
and you got to start over.
What's next week's twist?
Exactly, and we'll have to wait for that message in a bottle to find out. But yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Right. Need to make sure I get out there and get at least one non-DNF this week.
Yes, exactly.
You can. Do it.
You can. And again, we'll have all the links and helpful hints for Captain Mary Hyde in the show notes for you fine folks. Let's see. Info Fair, did you put a thing in there for Project GC?
Yeah, I came up on one of the social media feeds that they've tweaked their map, and it looks a lot more, turned it into a live map. It also shows updated coordinates for puzzles and multi-caches where you've put in amended coordinates. And it mentions something about a filter to include archived caches if you want.
Really?
I haven't tested that, so I can't.
Would be very interesting. I would be very interested to see a map that has all the archived geocaches.
I mean, some people go out and hunt
especially
down.
puzzle caches, because there's a lot of puzzle caches that I've solved, and the individuals just say, ah, screw it, nobody's finding it, I'm archiving it.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, might want to go out and actually find it and say, oh, I found it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, there's the other thing that if you look at, I mean, it's occasional puzzles. There's certain areas of Wellington that have had a load of older caches in, some of which have been archived. So if you're trying to solve a puzzle, if you know where caches were at the time that puzzle was published, it blocks out a few areas for you, so you can knock out some of the options.
Yeah. Now, Two Wombies in the chat room says, Project GC always did show solved puzzles and multis in the correct position. The archive filter is handy. So that's something I'm going to have to play with. That's something I'm going to want to check and work with. I didn't realize it did that. Excellent stuff.
I like Project GC.
Oh, I do too. I'm a member.
So
I
pay up. It's really useful for me when I'm planning a joint trip with a friend or two, just because it shows there's a map compare and it highlights in different colors who's found which one, so you can try and maximize your find rate for the minimum number of kilometers.
Yeah. What freaks me out, and we brought it up on the show in the past, is there's an option in there to find all the geocaches that have never been found. Yes. And to see how many are out there will blow your mind. So, yeah. Yes.
And unfortunately, the ones around me are in very, very difficult,
remote
places.
Yes, yes.
Like, I need some climbing gear. And,
oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a five, rappelling is part of it.
Ignore this. I'm not going to go for a scuba cache.
Oh, come on. I would love to do a scuba cache. Or at least a skin diving cache. Yeah.
No, water's too cold.
Yeah. Well, for you, maybe, I guess.
Yeah. Well, the other thing to look at, that I went and looked at this morning, I guess I've sort of almost got used to the geocaching map, what I call the measles map. You know, with all the dots in different colours.
Yes.
And when you go back to Project GC, they show the map in its old format with the little squares with the arrow pointing down to exactly where it is. And I looked and thought, actually, I do still... Yes, the measles map looks cleaner. But for actual use, I do prefer the square with a point.
Oh, very good. Very good. Let's see, other stuff. Tonight's episode is basically our cacher coffee for July, and basically what that means is we go out and find different stories to talk about or discussion points to talk about. You get your favorite libation, you kick back, and you just kind of talk, and that's kind of what we do with our cacher coffee. And I'm kind of curious. I've got the link in our show notes, and again, folks, you'll be able to get your hands on this as well. Basically, if you just go to www.geocaching.com/play/friendleague and you're logged in as you, it will sit there and bring up your friend list, your friend league list. And I was just curious how you guys were doing on mine. Obviously, I'm like 12th down on the list. I really want to thank geocacher geoprof123, who has 255 points. I think that we'll make it over the 30 point limit this week. But
I'm just trying to bring up mine. I have no idea what I'm doing.
That's
normal.
I'm down at number seven. So they put you at the first. If you haven't done any, they put you at the top of the zeros list.
That's it.
I'm currently 11th on my list with a measly 5 points.
Yeah.
Yeah, Geoprof. I've got Geoprof. Good. Well done. Yeah. Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah. Memphis Mafia, you need to get out there and get some more. You only got 10 points. Come on, dude.
Well, I don't see. Actually, I got Rick on the range in there, but I haven't seen Bible Man Rick had a bunch of points last week.
Last week, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, we just got to get after these guys. Step up, guys. Come on, get your points. I'm just saying.
Mine's missing a couple of people. I know, because I know it's school holidays here, and I know there's a couple of teachers.
Oh, yeah.
They've been out and about.
Yeah.
And they've not got.
I'm going to be curious. I'm going to be curious to see what they do with the Friends League after this. I mean, this is a cute way you get your points. You get some kind of goody thing in response to your reward for going out and doing this. Before this, nobody touched the Friends list. I mean, forever. Nobody touched the Friends list. So it's interesting they're using this, and I love it. I'm just curious to see what they're going to come up with after this to come up with things.
Well, you know, I thought it was kind of interesting that here recently they had the update to their website where they actually showed the activity of your friends.
That was cool.
So that was pretty cool. So,
yeah.
You know, it's making it actually somewhat interesting to have someone as your friend on there. So
it also kicks you in the butt and it's like, oh shoot, I better get out there and start showing some points and do that. So yeah, it's absolutely it's definitely an encouragement and I love it. And you know, I know over the past, and I've actually had several emails recently where people go, we love the geocaching podcast, but you tend to talk a little more on the negative side of geocaching than on the positive. Well, we kind of do that on purpose, because if you don't bring up the stuff that is negative, it never gets discussed. And that's why we do this. On the flip side of that, we love talking about when things are starting to move. And ever since Brian has taken over, no offense to Jeremy, ever since Brian took over, things have started to click. Things have started to go into motion, and we're seeing it more and more, and we love it. It's great to be able to sit there and look forward to stuff again when it comes to geocaching as a whole. So, yes, we tend to be the devil's advocate sometimes. Maybe we should make T-shirts and just say Geocaching Podcast, the devil's advocate. And just we love when things go well and geocaching does well. But on the other hand, we also feel it's our responsibility to also bring discussion. And so for the people that do write us and say, sometimes you're a little too negative, we understand that. But that is, in my humble opinion, I can't speak for everybody on the show, but in my humble opinion, that's our job, is to make people aware of different things and bring up discussion and go from there, whether it's positive or negative.
A lot of it is personal
views.
All hate
mail goes to Andy Headhart.
Hate mail goes to headhardhead at geocachingpodcast.com.
At least I'm far enough away to avoid things being thrown from most places.
That's why I keep my good car in the garage and the bad car out for the driveway.
Come on, we've said nice things about reviewers today.
I know it. Yes. So it's, you know, we're not all bad, but it's just, you know, that's how it goes. And we do get emails from people sitting there saying, all of them say they love the show. It's like, well, there's reasons behind the discussion. And sometimes you can't be all sunshine and unicorns and rainbows all the time, because that's not realistic in my book. So that's why we do what we do. And thank you, fine folks, for sending us those comments, because then we know where you're at as well. And then we stop bringing out the torches and the pitchforks as much and start talking about other things. So yeah, that's how that goes. Let's see, tonight with Cacher Coffee, one of the things that I thought was interesting is this is out of the Chronicle Herald out of Canada. And I'm going to bring this up on my screen here so I can talk about it. It says, geocachers to unite in the Maritimes. And this is out of the Herald Lifestyles. And basically what it is, it's the Maritimes will see an increase in outdoor enthusiasts in the region starting July 29th as the Association of Nova Scotia Geocaching hosts the fourth Maritime Mega Geocaching event in, I'm going to butcher the name, I apologize to my Canadian friends, T-R-U-R-O. Take a shot. Truro?
If it was Cornwall, it would be Truro.
Okay, fair enough. All right. And you know me, I can't pronunciate anyways. I'm just saying.
Truro.
Yeah. The geocaching event will attract more than 500 people per year. Is being held in Nova Scotia for only the second time. And it just looks like a lot of fun. I love seeing our Canadian friends go out there and, you know, participate in a mega. It's great. Yeah. Excellent, excellent stuff. Let's see. This year's Mega Geocaching event will feature information sessions, vendor and information booths, a pancake breakfast. You got me there.
Well, I'm over. Yeah.
I'm there. tidal bore rafting, brewery tours. All right, there you go.
There you go.
That's after the pancakes, you get the brewery tours. And waste cleanups at certain areas, so they got some CETO going on. Special guests attending from the U.S. include Chris Ronan, which is, of course, Rock Chalk, from the geocaching headquarters in Seattle. There will also be an appearance of Signal the Frog, who's geocaching's official international mascot. That is one well-traveled frog, I'm just saying. There are also competitions throughout the week. And for example, when geocaches are first published on the website, there is a competition between different geocachers. It's a prestigious thing. You want to be the first geocachers to find the geocache once it's published. Now, Sarah had actually brought this up earlier in the show. In the States, we refer to them as first to find hounds. Mm-hmm. Those are usually the general stuff for the guys that go out and that live for first to finds. So
yeah. We have one guy. He's a great guy, but he'll only log a cache if he's the first to find.
Wow.
He'll sign the logbook. I mean, actually, there's one of mine that he was a joint first to find because he took somebody else out with him.
Yep.
And but ye trees, if you're listening, get your bloody logs up today. You're about 5,000 adrift.
Actually, I just find it funny when you said took out, because for first to finders here, it's easy to take somebody out when you got the chance to get those clean sheets. I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. Oh, he fell down. I'm sorry. So, yeah, it happens.
No. Well, actually, he met him at a – it was one that we placed – a couple of us placed deliberately to wind another Keisha up,
yeah,
who's also a first to find hound.
Yep, that's it. It's
way, way out in the back blocks.
Yeah. I don't know.
Forestry Road.
I swear some of the geocachers that I know, the first to find hounds in our area, have a freaking transporter. There is no way they beat me. I'm like, I get the announcement. I am out the door. I'm half a mile or a mile away from the geocache, and I'm watching their taillights drive away as I pull up. It's like, how do they do it? So, yeah.
I no idea.
Yeah,
Texas Rider lived an hour away from me, and the cache would publish 5 minutes away from me, and I'd go out right after it's published, and he's there. It's like,
oh yeah,
how in the hell? pardon my language.
Nope, that's all right. But we, you know,
it's like haven't checked his stats in a couple of years now, but you know, the last time I checked, he had 2,500.
Oh yeah,
FTS.
Yeah,
it's like, how?
Yeah. It's amazing for that. The second one is, of course, we had to hit at least one geocaching bomb report. This one I found relatively, I don't know if humorous is quite the word for it, but does the word terse mean anything?
Very abrupt, very short,
very little of anything. Basically, it just says, quick read, diligent police work ends in empty geocaching container. And let's see, this is out of the Aberdeen News. And it just says, and I can read it because it's literally three sentences. Police believe a suspicious object found in a tree at Melgard Park Monday evening was a container used for geocaching. Hang on for a sec. My screen just decided to go through there. So I'm bringing it back up. There we go. Let's see. Geocaching is where containers are placed in certain locations and registered on websites so others can find them in a type of scavenger hunt. This container, however, wasn't registered on any geocaching website. Police Chief Dave McNeil said this morning the cylinder was wrapped in camouflage tape and wire and covered with a lid, leading officials to believe it could be a pipe bomb because blowing up trees is such a terrorist event. Now,
there's no log sheet inside?
I don't. Apparently, it was empty.
Would they have actually said that because they think a swag is something that fills if they really don't know about
exactly
geocaching, but they've heard. And number two is like, did you solve all the puzzles within 2 miles?
Right.
And all the multis is like, I don't think so. My bet is it was a puzzle or a multi final.
The only other thing I could think of was that it was either archived and no longer on the list there, or it was on one of the websites that no longer exist. So you've got open caching.com and go that way. So I don't know, interesting stuff, but the I'm clicking on, I wanted to see information about what they had with this, and it said click here to get all the details on the suspicious container. And there's like literally it just says police believe a suspicious object found in a tree at Megalard Park Monday evening was a container used for geocaching. Thank you for reading. So I'm like, a little more meat with that one, please. It's just I just found it interesting how little information. There is another report of it later on in a Tuesday update, which was about just not a whole heck of a lot. But the kicker was, because of this, the entrance to the park was blocked. There was still half a dozen police vehicles by 10 p.m., including one at the campground building at the park's east side. The main road was blocked, and police, the public would not be allowed in the park until the object was removed and identified. I would hope they would identify it first and then remove it, but I'm just saying. apparently, they don't have a bomb squad in Aberdeen that's dying to do some practice. So I'm just saying. So yeah, that's another one of the police bombs in the geocaching universe. And like I said, how many trees have actually been blown up enough to bring public awareness to containers hidden? I mean, Amy still laughs every time she talks about the banana in the pine tree. I'm just saying. So
yeah,
I don't know. Interesting.
I could say that would be fairly appealing.
Oh, that was almost okay. That one gets. I'm just saying, it was bad. Bad enough to get a ding there.
I've got a bunch more if you want.
No banana jokes. No. I'm afraid of kiwis with bananas. I'm just saying. All right. This was interesting as well. Raised an eyebrow, and I'm going to see if I can bring this up on the screen. This is a Kickstarter, and it's called the Forest Sprite Beacon. It's a nighttime geocaching device. They launched a Kickstart for it, and I'm going to see if I can bring it up on the screen here, and you'll see why I raised at least an eyebrow on this. I'm letting it come up here. And let's see, does it get to the... I'm going to go to the actual Kickstarter webpage, which you can get from the link. Now, I'm going to bring this up.
And this is apparently an Aussie.
Is it?
Yes, from Melbourne.
Okay, so
Kickstarter.
This Melbourne? I want you to see, for the people that are listening to the podcast, I apologize. Come and watch the video, the Geocaching Podcast, for tonight's episode. I'm going to share this now. Now tell me why I might be slightly concerned about this particular object being put out into public.
Because this one looks more like it could potentially be
a bomb. Yes. Basically what it is a round cylinder, and inside of it is a chipboard, a battery, and it's all soldered and connected together. Now, the idea, I think, is awesome. The display as a whole, huge mistake. So it's, I look at this and go, what could happen? So I'm going to see if I can bring up if they actually, I'm going to actually play, the sound shouldn't go through. So let me actually play this, and you'll kind of see for a second here what it looks like. It's only a 33 second video. So the idea is you put this thing out as like a fire tack, and you put it out in the woods, and if you use a flashlight at whatever distance that they've got it set up for, the LED will kick off and light up for you. So it's basically an electronic fire tack.
Yeah. Well,
which...
I, I, I looked and it mentions regaining or orienteering at night over a large distance to assist in finding the kite in the dark. Now, I've not done much night orienteering, but right. I know plenty of people that have. And part of the fun, for a given definition of fun, is that you just out with a head torch on your head and you try and find it. You don't need a light that's going bing, 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 here I am.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And for a night cache, I could see the use of this on a trail for a night cache. I wouldn't want the whole thing to light up, but, maybe for the final or something to get to it eventually or something like that. I could see how that would be semi-useful for somebody like that. It's an idea, and I don't want to kibosh people's ideas with it. But as a whole, from a design, if they camo the thing somehow and maybe make it look less like a bomb, would be a whole lot better than the here's your chipboard with a battery. What could go wrong with that? So
yeah.
So I had a Google Rogaining here because I was thinking when I hear Rogaining, I'm thinking of
long maybe distance a sport
that follically challenged
exactly
individuals do.
Right. I wouldn't have that problem, but that's all right.
I'm not making any comments about the average participants around here. I could get into trouble.
But yeah, that's orienteering sport basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Longer distance. Longer times, and you have to go out in at least pairs for a safety thing.
Right. Yeah, so it's an interesting concept. I could see somebody coming up with the same kind of... Now, the thing that I thought was neat that they were doing, not that it would be the greatest amount of draw of people, but one of the reasons why it was made is they attach one of those to a kite that they could go and do nighttime... using that, because there's like four different modes that you can put this thing in, whether it's how it flashes or how long or anything like that. But the idea is if you lose the kite at night, you're able to at least have a chance of finding it, that kind of thing. So I can see for pets or some other thing that I've seen those type of things where it's easier to find them at night because it's got such a bright LED to it. But specifying for geocaching like that, I'm not the biggest fan. So, interesting stuff, though. Forest Sprite Beacon is what it's called.
I think for us, you'd have to be careful where you put it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, absolutely. If it is, like, out in the middle of the woods, okay, I could see that. Maybe up, maybe out of the way that the average Joe isn't going to see this thing during the day and go, oh, my God.
There's an exposed circuit board with a battery in it. It must be a bomb.
Exactly. That's what they're going to think. Well, the funny part is, and I'll have to be honest, when I saw this, that's the very first thing that popped in my head. It's like, oh, my God, that looks like a bomb. So, what do you do? I know the difference, but people may not. So, yeah, a little more design in that one.
Now, I need to put out a bomb-themed geocache, except for hide it inside of an ammo can so that it's, to a geocacher, it's like, yes, it's a geocache.
But, yes. Oh, I see. But, put it, like, nested three or four deep.
Right.
So they can't do it until you actually see it.
And then when it gets light, it makes a sounds kaboom.
The thing that I remember way back... Somebody getting in trouble because they literally made an Acme dynamite igniter.
Yeah.
It was completely faked. It literally said Acme on the front of the thing, and it was the old Yosemite Sam dynamite thing.
Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah, exactly. And people went crazy because they had that out. It's like, what are you going to do? So yeah, that's interesting stuff. But yes, take our word for it. If you want to put out a geocache, do not make it look in any way, shape, or form like a bomb. Bad, very, very bad. So that's pretty much all I've got tonight, guys. What anything else that you've got to talk about?
Not hugely. I mean,
can you?
I was thinking at some point we ought to do a. dumb things, sort of almost a case of coffee on sort of dumb things we've done or seen other people do.
Oh, we need a couple hours for that one. I'm just saying.
For mine alone.
I think what you should do, Sarah, is tell them your come to Jesus experience you had.
Oh, gosh, that one. That was from last week, but I didn't, never made it to the show.
Yeah.
I was out tidying up a trail before I'd heard rumors it was going to be archived, and I'd sort of done half of it, but for one reason or another, never got round to doing the other half. And it's between Wellington and the Hutt Valley, which is about an 8 or 9 kilometer stretch of road. You've got State Highway 1 on one side, you've got the train tracks on the other, and the cycle path goes in between, and it's a fairly grotty cycle path. It's not... And even to make it even worse, to what the last sort of 800 meters of it, sort of just under about 3/4 of a mile of it at the Hutt end, there's no site wall, there's no sort of barrier, so you're walking beside the road. Fortunately, there aren't any caches on that bit, so I'm eternally grateful. But anyway, I went out, grabbed the last couple of caches that I knew were there. I know there was one that theoretically was missing, so I had to come back later and do it. But anyway, I was turning around, I was walking back, and I saw somebody walking along this road, walking along the track. And normally you see a couple of joggers, the occasional few cyclists, occasional very intrepid sort of pack of people out for a walk that day. But I saw this one guy, and he was walking along, carrying something. And it looked, and that wearing a hi-fi vest. And when I got closer, I saw what he was actually carrying was a cross bigger than he was. And even better, he wasn't actually carrying it. It had the sort of long bit that would normally drag along the ground unless you got superhuman strength or someone to help you. Had wheels on it. So he was out taking his cross for a trundle.
Oh, my.
With a hi-fi vest. I mean, I can see if you want to bring Jesus to the masses... Walking along a cycle path is probably not the best way to do it.
Wow. Well, it's much more convenient, though. I mean, without being in disrespect. I mean, okay.
I know Jesus is everywhere, but that's not quite
it just goes to prove that you just never know who you're going to meet while you're out geocaching. So it's,
Unfortunately, I don't have any photographic evidence, so you'll have to take it on my word.
I would love that.
I've seen pictures on the internet of these events occurring, and I'm not talking
just religious,
like on the Via Dolorosa,
right.
in Jerusalem. Yeah. You know, yeah. I'm talking out in the middle of nowhere and nobody around, and it's like, that is weird.
Yeah, I mean, that has to be the strangest encounter I've had on any geocaching trail.
That would be one of the top of my list.
That would be on the top of my list.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes. I was sober.
Okay, we were going to clarify. And, yeah.
It was about half past one in the afternoon, so.
There you go.
Yeah.
Hey, like I said, you just never know who you're going to meet. It's.
I'm just wondering if he'd said, "Oh, I'll take this out of the Hutt," and discovered that it wouldn't fit on his car roof rack or something.
Something.
Because I don't think you'd get it on a bus.
You know, not without paying an extra token, I think. Yeah.
I'm not sure you'd have got it through the doors.
Yeah, that's interesting. So yeah, I love it. I love when weird things happen during geocaching. It's great. All righty. Okay, so I think that's what we've got for this week. And, folks, we will see you next week on the Geocaching Podcast. Thank you for stopping by. And please make sure send into the GCPC mailbox. We need some more milestones and questions to the hosts and such. We'd greatly appreciate that as well. All right, I think that's about it. I want to take Chad and Sarah. And, Chad, I was going to say I'm glad you feel better. Because
I'm able to talk now.
Does help.
Absolutely. So good to have you back. All right, good stuff. I think it's time to boogaloo here. Please be sure to join us each and every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of the Geocaching Podcast, right here on the Geocaching Podcast website. At www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. The video version of our show is available on YouTube, And the audio version is available on our home website, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and many of your favorite podcatchers. We love hearing from our viewers and listeners, so please visit us through our social media sites or contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. The Geocaching Podcast is a Head Hard Hat production and is produced by Andy Smith, Scott Burks, Chad Courtney, and Sarah T.S. This show is copyright 2017 by Andrew T. Smith. All rights reserved.